Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We are your host for this weekend's edition. We're going to be focusing a lot again on the resource sector and more active investing in juniors and even some mid-tier stocks for all the investors that, unfortunately, we have been watching again. A bit of a broad sell-off continuing for a lot of these stocks. Throughout the week, we did focus again on a lot of company updates because, look, there's still a lot of good news coming out of these companies, and it's a great time to be really reanalyzing the companies you're looking at and your portfolio for, hopefully, when some more interest comes back into the precious metal sector. I'm excited about these first two segments because we are introducing a relatively new guest on the show. We've had him on once before. His name is Dave Lotan. He is president of LHI, a family investment office, also pretty well known as being a large investor in the resource space. Dave, I want to start off with a little bit of your background and really what brought you into the commodity space, especially in terms of the junior space and some of the junior stocks. Let's start there, please.
Sure. Corey, thanks very much for having me on. So my background is in finance. I was a chartered accountant with Pricewaterhouse, which I guess is now PricewaterhouseCoopers. And for a bunch of random reasons, I was streamed into structured finance and derivatives, which were a bit of a hot topic during the late 1990s after Orange County, the Orange County Pension Fund went bankrupt, and companies like Metal Gesellschaft, which was a commodities trading company out of Germany, had difficulties with futures and options contracts. And so there was a lot of focus on that at the board level, and auditing firms at the time were required to do a lot of work on the derivative portfolios of companies that were using these sort of levered products to hedge out risks that were not central to their business, that were commodity related and were embedded in their commercial activity. So I worked with some of the Canadian banks that were using swaps and interest rate options to hedge off the mismatch between their liabilities and their assets. And I worked with some of the oil refineries in Canada that were using futures and options to hedge off the difference between their cost of crude and their eventual proceeds from the sale of natural gas and heating oil and that sort of thing. And I got hired away by a hedge fund called Polar Capital, which was running a small mortgage bank in Canada that was in some difficulty. It was sourcing most of its money from the capital markets and using derivatives to hedge off mismatches. And so I did get a little bit lucky. We turned that business around and it got sold. And I then started a business in partnership with them, which was involved in other leveraged opportunities in Canadian credit markets. I sold that business to one of the big Canadian banks in 2007 and briefly retired. But then went over to one of the big pension funds with the ostensible task of building a similar business, but much larger in size. And shortly after that, the mortgage crisis began in the United States. Actually, it started in Canada. We had a bunch of asset-backed commercial paper that froze and couldn't be rolled here. And it became obvious that these structured finance techniques, these leverage techniques were not going to work anymore. So I hung around that pension fund doing some distressed opportunities until 2008 and then decided that I couldn't run my own money and run their money at the same time. So I retired and and focused for a while on banks, U.S. banks and insurance companies, which were the distressed opportunity of the day. I really owned a small amount of exposure in gold and commodities at the time. That trade played out over a couple of years, and I eventually liquidated that portfolio. And then I walked right into what looked like a fantastic opportunity in Canadian juniors in about November of 2011, which, as you will both note, was about 4 years too early. So I spent quite some time thinking about all of the mistakes that I was making and adding to them and deconstructing this business. And when it was almost too late, I decided it was a fantastic contrarian opportunity and have since 2015 spent most of my time in commodity-related juniors. I think that's why we're here today.
Well, Dave, after your traditional background in financing and managing pension funds and being involved with that side of the equation, what mental shift did you go through that caused you to take a deeper dive in the commodity sector? Why did you decide that gold, silver, phosphates, base metals were the place to start looking for unseen opportunity?
Sure. Well, my investing framework, I would say, is based on three things, really. The first and most important thing to think about in making any investment decision is who's going to buy from you. And it follows from that, you might be interested in who's selling it to you. And I would put that under the broader umbrella of flow. And I think that one of the things that I recognized too late and was that by 2014, it became obvious that flows into Canadian stocks and especially Canadian resource-based stocks were completely negative and would be negative for quite some time. And that was because of the structure of the industry. Many of these companies were financed by sector-specific mutual funds in Canada, which had very high management expense ratios, very high management fees. And the whole world was moving over to ETFs. And as you both know, when, for instance, a precious metals fund begins to produce negative returns, it experiences redemptions, there's a massive mismatch between the, you know, daily liquidity that these funds offer their unit holders and the amount of time it takes for a mining project to come on stream. So there were massive structural mismatches in the way the business was being funded, which resulted in what I thought would be negative flows for quite some time. So flow was important to me. And psychology was important to me, and just the whole concept of entropy. And that's, you know, systems are always breaking down and being reorganized as new systems. And I guess in the world of commodities, sort of the apex example of that was the gold standard breaking down in 1971 and Nixon taking the U.S., closing the gold window in the United States. And that led to the first time in history when there was no hard money in the global system and led to some spectacular opportunities in commodities as a result of that during the 1970s. So that framework in my mind has been active ever since 1971. There was a long gold bear market after Volcker got in at the Fed and did some of the best work I've ever seen a central banker do, or I've ever, I suppose, read about a central banker doing. Inevitably, things began to go in a different direction.
All right, Dave, I'm going to have to cut you off there because we are out of time for this first segment of the Weekend Edition. We're bringing you on next segment, though, and we are going to continue this discussion more on what you like in terms of stocks and what you are looking for investments. Just as a note for everyone listening on the radio, you can listen to this full interview without the segment breaks on our website, kereport.com, and click on that Weekend Show posting. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Dave Lokan.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Dave Lotan. Now, Dave, let's get into some of the company-specific stuff, because honestly, that's what a lot of people always want to hear. What's Dave buying? What is a big shareholder like yourself? What do you even look for in a company right now when, in all fairness, I think you need to be selective in this market?
So I think I've gone over 10% on three companies and gone in public domain on Fox River, which is a phosphate play in Northern Ontario, and Orion, which is a gold exploration company in Finland, and on CBG or Chibougamau Independent Mines, which had a bunch of old copper mines in the Chibougamau camp in Quebec. And so first and foremost, I want to buy into an ethical management team. And in general, where I've gone over 10% or where I've joined a board, it's because I think management is ethical. That if those conditions are not there, then it doesn't preclude me from making an investment, but it certainly informs the size of investment that I'm willing to make. And I wouldn't go in public domain if I didn't think management was trustworthy. There are lots of management teams out there that I think are highly conflicted, where I will still invest. But to get to that kind of size, I have to think that the people running the company have good intentions. And Orion was a great example. Mike and I had worked together for many years. He was an ethical guy. He wanted to make discoveries. There was a part of his business that he wasn't great at. That was awareness and promotion. But he was phenomenal at assembling property packages, and he was a great steward of investor capital. So I went over 10% and later joined the board to help him with the things that he didn't have the time to focus on or wasn't experienced at. With CBG, we're talking about copper assets. When I started my position in that company, I think I was able to buy about 9.9% of it at, let's say, a sub $2 million valuation. And we've seen these old brownfield camps in Quebec get reinvigorated, in the Abitibi, get reinvigorated on a regular basis. Red Lake was dead until Gold Eagle made a new discovery underneath the Bruce Channel at Cochenour. And from out of nowhere, I think it was called Southern Star Resources and one of Steve Roman's old companies came together. And a couple of years later, the whole thing got sold to Goldcorp for $1.5 billion. And there had been no developments in Red Lake since the discovery of the high grade zone in the 1990s. And all of a sudden, this camp was producing, with no resource and only a few years worth of history, $1.5 billion acquisition. So when I thought about the Chibougamau camp and I thought about how fragmented it had been for most of its existence, I think it had 16 headframes in it at one point, and had been brought together briefly under Patino Mines. All of this came to an end when copper hit 50 cents in the 1990s, but really was out of business and in one crappy junior and mostly in bankruptcy during the next 20 or so years. I thought about this as a camp that could be the next Malartic, potentially. Or I suppose, well, the next Red Lake is a bit of a stretch. It's a copper gold camp. But it didn't even need to be those things. What it needed was to be a camp that had a lot more ore to give, where if it were united, and if it wasn't a camp that was the subject of premature production ambitions, if it was properly explored, you might have something like a Malartic outcome. And I think both of you know the history of Malartic and that it was a little high-grade. There was a bunch of high-grade underground mines that eventually was united by Osisko and turned into, and they found the deeper gold porphyry underneath and turned it into a 500,000 ounce a year producer. But it took time and it took consolidation and it took years. And so CBG was in my mind that kind of an opportunity. And given the valuation that you're able to buy it at, which was sub $2 million at the time, you didn't even need it to have the Malartic upside. It's moved in fits and starts since then, but it's obviously much more valuable than when I assembled my initial stake.
Well, Dave, there's about 1,000 interviews that I think all of us have heard where we ask people, you know, why do you pick the companies you pick and what gets your interest? And we hear team, we hear project, we hear jurisdiction, we hear capital. Mm-hmm. But the truth is there's 1,000 different junior mining companies. So I'm curious, you know, when you peel back the layers, other than the normal talking points we always hear. What are you really looking for in a project? Is it the stage they're at, like an exploration stage or development stage? Mm-hmm. Is it an area mm-hmm. of play? Or is there something else that you see? Because you've also had a history of uniting different projects and bringing together different teams, different assets, and forming better arrangements, or at least as an investor, seeing those things happening before others. So what's the real mm-hmm. value proposition that Dave Lotan looks at when you're analyzing mining stocks?
It's a very hard question to answer. And I'll tackle it, start with this way. So I'm sure you both remember Nevsun. And Nevsun in the early 2000s at one point was a 12-cent stock. And Bisha wasn't even in the company at that point in time. It was never consolidated. Bisha eventually came. It turned into some spectacular high-grade drill results, although in BMS and in a district that was very difficult to deal with. But the cycle came around, and the company was able to get project financing and get it into production. It might have peaked at $13 at one point before they ended up taking over Reservoir Capital for Timok, and then getting taken over themselves by, I think, I can't remember the name of the Chinese company that took it over. So this isn't an answer anyone will like, but when you're buying companies run by decent people that are cheap enough and you're buying them at the bottom of the cycle, sometimes you just have to have the faith that what's going to be valuable is coming, even if it isn't there yet. My original stake in Orion started when the company wasn't in Finland. I think I got to 5% when Mike was just grinding his axe in Mexico. And I met him at the airport on the trip that when he came back having been through a nightmare, having been held at gunpoint, having discovered a body on the property while touring Kinross at the time, who ceased to be even aware of the company for years until they came back into our Finland business. And we sat at the airport and talked about how the company was just going to have to write off its investments in Mexico and take the capital that it had and move on and look for other things. And so, as I said, it's not the answer that anyone wants to hear, but when you're in a sort of a massive counter-cyclical trade, especially in juniors, you have faith in the process.
All right, Dave, we have to wrap it up here. Again, just as a note for everyone listening on the radio, you can listen to that full interview on our website, kereport.com, by clicking on that weekend show posting. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with another couple segments from another private investor, Richard Postma, also known as Doc.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
The Taliban running into difficulties since taking control of Afghanistan. Reports coming from around the country show banks closed and ATMs empty. Also, former Afghan soldiers and armed residents claim victory over the Taliban in three northern districts. Meanwhile, in Washington, President Biden continues to defend the decision to pull out U.S. troops.
Just imagine if that attack, if bin Laden had decided with Al-Qaeda to launch an attack from Yemen, would we ever gone to Afghanistan? Would there ever be any reason we'd be in Afghanistan, controlled by the Taliban? What is the national interest of the United States in that circumstance?
Biden speaking Friday from the White House. A Gallup poll released Friday shows Biden's approval rating falls to a new low of 49%. Hurricane Grace making landfall in Mexico Saturday morning. Grace, a Category 3 storm hitting the East Coast, up to a foot of rain expected in some areas. This is USA Radio News. COVID spiking to unprecedented levels in Australia, the country reporting a record number of cases Saturday. Violent protests continue over lockdowns, police firing pepper balls at about 4,000 protesters in Melbourne. Six police officers reportedly hurt. In the U.S., the focus seems to be on getting schools safely reopened. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky on CBS News Friday.
Among the things to keep children safe are get everyone around those children vaccinated and get those children vaccinated themselves.
Walensky on Friday tweeting support for the Atlanta Falcons. They're the first NFL team to reach the 100% vaccination level. Meanwhile, Hall of Fame running back Barry Sanders announcing Friday he has COVID, even though he's fully vaccinated. Sanders reports no symptoms, though. Getting aid to Haitians proving to be difficult. Witnesses on the ground and government officials there both report relief supplies being stolen, including food. A return to the Remain in Mexico policy now on hold. The Supreme Court issuing a temporary stay, blocking a judge's order to reinstate President Trump's immigration policy. The stay will allow the Supreme Court to review new filings in the case. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And the theme of this weekend show is really talking to private investors that are focused in the commodities or resource stocks, a lot in gold, to try to get their understanding, their feeling for this market that, unfortunately, especially for the stocks, has been pretty devastating over the last year. I know gold has only dropped, let's say, a little over 10% from its peak about a year ago. Some of these stocks, especially the juniors, they're 50, 60, 70% off some of their highs. So Shad and I, right now, are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc, another private investor in the precious metals space, and one that has built up a very large following on our site in particular. Doc, I want to start off big picture here. Again, we look at the complete underperformance of the gold stocks and also the pullback in gold after a good run. Whether you argue that the bull market started in 2019 or back in 2015, either way, look, we've had a year of down action, and clearly investors have started in a large amount now turning away from the sector. Doc, what charts do you think are most important for precious metals investors to look at right now?
The most important charts, and I've said this right along, for the precious metals, are the monthly charts. And when we got to a high last year in August, I mentioned I thought we were probably at a high and we would probably reverse that and start grinding lower over time. And we've done that. And what really scares me is how similar that chart right now looks like a 2011, 2012 chart. It's playing out almost exactly the same. I don't think it will, but right now you could almost superimpose those monthly charts going back to 2011 and 2012 to the charts we're watching today. Now, the interesting thing is what I've been mentioning about monthly charts this time around. One good thing is we've never closed on a monthly basis below the 20-month moving average of the Bollinger Bands, and we're right at it right now. Now, I think that maybe next week we will close under it for the first time, possibly, but it's held up there. But if we close below that next week and then have a couple more closes below it, we're probably going to go a little bit lower, and we're going to form a trading range for a while. And the other thing I would note on the monthly chart, and I've said this before, is that on the MACD, on the momentum chart of the MACD, I felt that when we move down and eventually bottom, I don't believe we will go into negative territory. I think we will bottom around neutral at zero on the chart or just above it, which would be a positive, because if we go negative, it's going to be a lot worse than people think, but I don't think that's going to happen. But we have a ways to go. And the last point I would make is I can't believe how gold has held up with the way that these miners have gotten crushed. And, you would expect eventually gold, to go down, commensurately in some way so that we have some lower prices here. And I think that may happen. And, maybe the miners are telling us this. And I think, we will go lower, but we'll see.
So, Doc, sounds like you think that the stocks are, again, preceding another move down, or at least leading the gold price lower. When you look at some of these daily charts and even some of the weekly charts, then looking for some near-term resistance, all eyes for gold really are on that, let's say, 1670 to 1680 level, which that flash crash about 2 weeks ago took us right down to that level. Do you think that's going to hold? It definitely sounds like you think that's going to be tested.
Yeah, I think that's going to be tested again from what I'm seeing. I don't know how we can avoid it. Now, the question is, if we have a close below that, I think a very important level is going to be 1600. I think if we can keep our closes in the months ahead above that, we're in good shape. We don't want to close any month in the future below 1600, Corey. That's what I'm looking for. We're going to start to, with the Bollinger Bands on the monthly, they're going to start to turn laterally here pretty soon, and we're going to start to have a trading range. If we're going to go higher, it better be really quick here, because otherwise we're going to be in a trading range.
Well, Doc, let me just follow up on that point, because the 1673, 1677 March lows, they were tested for a third time. Generally, when a level gets tested a fourth or fifth time, it's going to break. So the worry would be, okay, we break that level. You know, are we now in a more confirmed cyclical bear market within a larger secular bull market? And Dave Erfle, in a discussion with him just earlier this week, he mentioned that 1550 level as strong support. And if people recall, that's where things really broke down back in 2013 in the bear market, where they really cascaded down and they got into the 1300s and 1200s eventually, and then all the way down to 1050 by the end of the bear market. So he sees that level as critical. Do you think that we could still break that 1600 level that you were saying would be bad and get to 1550 and hold and still retain the larger bull market trend overall?
I do think we can, and I'm not concerned about a break here where we move back down toward 1200, 1300. I don't see it. Things would really have to get bad globally for that to happen. We would have to have a 1929 type of conventional market crash, in my view, to see that happening. So I don't see that happening at all based on what I'm watching on these long-term charts. Because before that ever happens, you're gonna, if there's fear, from a conventional market meltdown, you're going to see money printing like you've never seen before in our lives. And that in itself, I think, would be extremely positive for the precious metals, particularly gold.
Well, another thing to think about, and I've posted a chart like this on the site a few times, if you look all the way back, we still have this pattern of higher lows in place, you know, from the 1100 area to the 1260 area. And then in November of 2019, 1446, the flash crash during the pandemic was down to 1450. So even if gold were to break that 1670 level and bottom, let's say, in the 1620s or above that 1550 support, we'd still have the overall longer-term pattern of higher lows, which is still bullish. But if those were to break, obviously all bets are off. But is there a case to be made where gold does base over the next couple of months and then dig its way back out? It may not be a giant V-shaped rebound, but what do you think the exit of this and into the bull market will look like? Will it be something that takes months, or will it take a year?
Well, yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll find a bottom. I've been saying this in the first quarter of next year. Maybe it might even extend for gold, and I'm not talking about the miners. For gold in the first quarter of next year, or the first half of next year, I think we'll basically see the bottom. And then I think we can trade sideways for a while to build a base and be consolidated. And if you remember back 2011-12, as we moved down in gold, I said we'd see a U-shaped market for a while, and that's what we did see. And I think we might get that again to a degree, but I don't think it'll be the length that we saw from the 2011-2012 meltdown. We were in that bottom of that U for about 5 years, approximately 5 years, almost 6 years. This time I don't think that's going to happen. We could be in a bottoming phase in part of 2022 and 2023, but I think that would be it, frankly.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up this segment here, but Doc, we'll bring you back on next segment and get a little bit more into how you're managing your precious metal portfolio.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Welcome back. Here we are to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, we'll get into portfolio management in the second segment, but I really do need to ask you, and I hate to bring up this concept, but you brought up 2011, 2012. There are some similarities on these charts. If you go back to the peak in gold in 2011 to that initial bottom when it was correcting in about mid-2012, where gold corrected to 1526, that was 9 months. And then it took another 11 months for that low to be broken again after another bounce. You look at the correction that gold's been through here. From the peak to the bottom this year in March, that was 8 months. So we're only a month off, and now we're only about 6 months past that time. Doc, can we rule out, unfortunately, a bear market starting similar to what we saw about a decade ago?
No. In fact, this, like I said, you can transpose this monthly chart almost exactly on the 2011-2012 chart. But if we can, if that 12 month can hang in with the 26 month and stay fairly close to it, we're not going to see a vicious sell off. But if that thing drops out of bed like next month or October, like it did in 2013, early part of 2013, where you had a separation of pricing of the 12 month and 26, you're going to see a cascading low. Or you're going to see that gold price cascade low just like it did back in 2013. So the next 2-3 months are going to be extremely informative on whether we see a considerable drop in the gold price or whether we continue to grind just lower and hold at the 1550 area. So the monthly chart is so important right now. The weekly and the daily charts tell you nothing. But the monthly chart just speaks volumes here.
Well, just to give people a glimmer of hope, I'm going to throw out the other idea, which is, besides the fact that we could be setting up for a confirmed bear market, there's the other school of thought of the bullish case that says we're in this giant cup and handle from 2011 to 2020, where the 1921 peak in 2011 and the 2089 peak make the big top of the cup and this big rounded bottom you discussed, Doc. But then there's the handle, which we've been in. And some people, like Jordan Royburn mentioned, the handle may take longer to form than people think. Could this still, this weakness we're seeing and this downward channel since last August still be part of that handle that is yet to form on that massive 10-year chart? And could that still be a bullish pattern overall?
Absolutely. In fact, if it plays out the way I talked about, that you don't go below a neutral on MACD, and you go toward 1600 and 1550, and then you hang around there a little bit in 2022 to 23, and then start up toward 2024, you've got a beautiful handle, and it's probably going to be a stronger handle based on the length of time. So that can still hold true at this present time, and that's a very strong possibility yet. And that's why I feel that everybody shouldn't get completely depressed here yet. And it's going to be tough the second part of this year. And those guys that were talking about going to new highs, I don't know where they got that idea, but there's no way that's going to happen. And so it's going to be a tough end of the year here, and then we'll see what next year brings. But, yeah, that cup and handle is still in play, even if we go lower here and then turn sideways for a couple or a few months and then start our move up. So it is still in play.
Yeah, that is a very good point, too. So something, again, that you can look at on the positive side of things. Right now, it's just, it's been a tough market, and let's see where price action takes us. As you said, Doc, I do want to quickly ask you about fundamental factors, too, because we do talk about fundamentals, and quite frankly, there's a lot of fundamentals to chat about. The ones that I think are most important here is what's going on with the economy. So underneath what the economy here, inflation data has peaked, which also means that real interest rates have bottomed, at least for the near term. And boy, oh boy, did they bottom in negative territory. And we also need to look at Fed policy. COVID is another thing we can talk about, but that's so variable and that's just all over the place that right now, when we look at Fed policy, looks like the Fed is now talking about tapering this week. When you put that all into context, inflation peaking, real interest rates starting to climb again, maybe the Fed tightening. To me, that's almost everything going against gold, which isn't necessarily a bad thing considering where gold is trading. But what do you take away from the fundamentals, and which ones do you think matter the most?
Well, I think, and I said this, that we would, I agreed with the Fed a number of weeks ago when they said inflation might be transitory, and I said that. And I feel that we're going to enter a disinflation period here. And all that means is your rate of change of inflation is going to slow down. It doesn't mean that we go negative. That's all that means. And I think that's a real possibility, because I don't think this economy is as strong as people would like. And I think some of the variables are starting to show us that. And that means that growth isn't going to be what they expect it to be. And I say that because all this stimulus ends by the end of the year. And then we'll see what kind of economy we have. And what's interesting is the Fed's talking about tapering. Well, I think we're going to see signs of slowing before they make that decision. Then the decision is, do they taper into a slowing economy, or do they back off? And this will take a few months to play out. And I think that even if they start to taper, they're going to have to reverse just like last time again. And then if we have the kind of slow economy I think is possible, you're going to have money printing again. And I think that's when I think gold could really make a move at that point in time.
So, Doc, yeah, I was going to ask you along those same lines. So just to reiterate what you're saying there, you're saying that let's say that they actually start the tapering. They pull the punch bowl away from the party, and they start dialing back their bond buying. And maybe they go from $120 billion a month down to $90 billion a month. But if that happens and they stop buying bonds, I don't know who else is going to want to buy them. So that'll force the rates up. Interest rates will go up. And if interest rates go up, that usually pressures the general stock markets. So if the markets have a taper tantrum like they've had in 2013 and like they had a mini one in 2018, and the Fed does have to say, just kidding, we're going to come back and start buying bonds again, you think that could be the real driver there? That could be the catalyst that we're waiting for in the gold market?
Yeah, because that completely reverses their narrative again. And something interesting that I've noted on the TLT, which is a 20-year Treasury bond ETF, I don't see a lot of strength in that right now. That's had that's had 5 months of higher closing prices, but I think that thing is starting to look a little weak right now, which I find interesting, and that doesn't make sense to me right now. And but the charts are kind of saying that there's not a lot of strength to the bond market right now, which I find to be interesting.
All right, Doc, let's move to portfolio management then. First, what have you been doing with your portfolio? Have you been a seller? Have you been buying anything? Or are you simply sitting on your cash?
What I done is 3 weeks ago, I sold a couple of my positions where I had made money, but their pricing at the point I sold was not looking favorably to me. Their charts weren't. And one of them I'll share with you was New Gold, where I sold down at about $1.80 or $1.70. Now it's down to $1. I'm glad I sold it because I had made a profit over time in it, and I had quite a position in it. And another one was NovaGold. So my portfolio now, my percentage invested in precious metals, I'm back into the 30s%. And I have quite a few exploration companies. Well, they don't have much further to fall on a percentage basis. They've, you know, they're about where they're going to be. Plus, I haven't a lot of loss in them because I bought them at low prices. But where I'm going to focus on going forward is I'm going to focus in on the producers. I'm going to focus in on some of the good royalty companies, and that's where I'm going to put my big positions in to prepare for the next move as we go forward.
All right. Hey, Doc, great having you on the show. I hope you all enjoyed this weekend's edition. We really did focus, again, with a lot of private investors here trying to make sense of this continued correction. Everyone, please keep in touch. Our emails are fleck@kereport.com and chad@kereport.com. We love hearing from all of you. We really have been focusing more on company interviews and also a lot of webinars. Those will keep rolling out. So please keep on visiting our site, kereport.com. And hey, everyone, have a great weekend. Doc, really appreciate your time. Thanks again.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.